Shores, El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
All right, welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, it's just a quick flash there of the homepage of our website. In fact, on our homepage tonight is featured the cover of Military Academy Weekly, and there is a picture of R.C. Collins standing in front of drill instructor Brewster from Bradley Military Academy, and the article, it says, in this issue, R.C. gets his ass reamed. So,
I'm got to pick that one up.
Yeah, pick it up at your local newsstand. All right. So, now here's the thing. What do you want to do, bud?
I told you, look it up on Wikipedia. You don't trust it.
I trust Wikipedia for little things. You know, it's not my last source. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's all I've been trying to tell you guys.
Yeah, you're talking about Wikipedia like I'm some kind of dumbass.
No, I'm just saying, always get more than one source.
Yeah, but you go to Encyclopedia Tanica.
Encyclopedia Tanica. You know, you talk like a three-year-old. You know what Echo Lela is?
Yeah, it's Echo Lake.
Echo Lake?
Right, near Echo Park.
Not Echo Park. I'm talking about echolalia. You know what that is? It's what happens to human beings at a certain age. We hear how people say words, and we echo those words. When you're very small, when you're only about two, you can only remember two consonants max. It's very rare to find a two-year-old that can remember three consonants. For instance, the word rhinoceros. If you said the word rhinoceros to a two-year-old, the two-year-old would only remember the two of those three syllables. Rhinoceros. Actually, four syllables.
Well, how many are going to, the four syllable, how do they remember?
They only remember two, whether it's a four-syllable, three-syllable, they only remember two. So,
yeah, y'all spazzed out.
Well, I'm trying to get this said without you guys interrupting me. So, and don't say spazzed, okay, bud, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
So a two-year-old is going to say osiris, something like that. If you say, okay, say rhinoceros, they'll say osiris.
Well, that's three.
All right, so it's three. Whatever, you know. But there are fewer syllables that they remember than the syllables in the word. And that's called echolalia, when they echo the word back. You notice this with children. They'll say, you know, you'll say, well, time to go to the store. And you'll hear the kids say, time to go to the store. They're hearing words. They're repeating the words. And they're putting together the images, the visuals.
Kind of like what sea lions and seals do.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about a kid. You know,
what's the difference? I mean, a kid, a human being, but at that age, just might as well have another sea lion in the house or something.
Yeah, it's like having a seal.
No, it ain't like having a seal. It's a human being. And humans, unlike seals, can adapt and continue to adapt to more complex situations, communications, and so forth, whereas your seals and your sea lions can't do that, okay? All right. I don't know why the hell it is we get involved in these kinds of conversations. You guys are driving me nuts. Now, welcome back to our show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com is our live streaming video of the show, and if you have a backstage pass, you get all those thousands of hours of archive shows, our daily podcasts, so many other things. We're going to be starting a free podcast very soon. I know that I told you guys this weekend, but it doesn't look like it's shaping up for this weekend. Here's the challenge. It's not really a challenge, but I want to roll this thing out right. And it's going to be called Phil Hendry Presents. And we're going to have a whole lot of stuff going on, man. We're going to have Daryl Weber.
Oh, yeah, Daryl Weber, man. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
I like that music he plays.
Yep, we're going to have Daryl Weber come back. We're going to have, you name it, man. A lot of Bobby Dooley will be hosting full hours. It's going to be a real mind F, if you pardon the language. All right. Here's some news. I just think this is fascinating. I think this is fascinating, but not for the reasons a lot of people think it's fascinating. Fox Mole ousted, whistleblowing hero or disloyal self-promoter? Now, this is from the Christian Science Monitor, which I think is a pretty substantially, you know, vetted paper of record. The Fox Mole, an insider who wrote horrible things about Fox News, has been identified and fired in a fresh parable about how news media tools are creating new workplace issues. As of Tuesday, Joe Muto, I believe is how you pronounce his name, was newly enshrined as the Fox Mole, an employee inside the right-leaning news network who was tattling in public about the alleged failings of his employer. Now, this guy, Muto, listen to the story. The next day, he'd lost his job while winning some fame, being threatened with a lawsuit by Fox, and dangling the prospect that he has, quote, much more to say, end quote. Now, who is this guy Muto? Joe Muto. Mr. Muto, who until...
Mr. Muto?
Not Mr. Muto, okay?
That guy was a wrestler. I know.
But I really, you know, I don't want to hit a guy who's got a plate in his head, but I'm going to do it if you keep on interrupting me.
Well, that's considered Mr. Muto.
His name ain't Mr. Muto. It's Mr. Muto.
Yeah, but it makes you think about it.
Anything would make you think about Mr. Muto.
You think I'm gay for him?
Will you just shut up?
Yeah.
You too. Mr. Muto, who until Wednesday was an associate producer at Fox... Do I think you're gay for him? Mr. Muto, who until Wednesday was an associate producer at Fox News, adopted the Fox Mole persona on the news website Gawker. In blog posts that sometimes included video footage of anchors like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, he echoed views that have long been voiced by critics from the outside. Now listen to this. This is what gets me. He echoed views that have been long voiced by critics from the outside, that it is biased against President Obama and Democrats, and that its coverage is anything but fair and balanced. Well, how about that? The guy is talking about Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, two commentators, not news reporters, commentators, who are very definitely right-leaning. As much as you like to think, Mr. O'Reilly, that you got everybody conned into thinking you're the no-spin guy, yeah, uh-huh, spin this, brother. Sit on this and spin.
Ha ha!
O'Reilly with the no-spin fact. Who are you kidding, man? But the fact is, whether O'Reilly is right, is a commentator, he is a commentator, so is Hannity. So they're right-wing commentators. So what? So what are you giving me, man? This guy's a mole and he's got some inside information? You ain't got anything, man. So now the Christian Science Monitor, after that big revelation, yes, he's echoed what many from the outside have long suspected. Maybe they're biased. Well, you think? In their editorial opinions, they are, but I'll tell you this much, the way they report news, and I'm just talking about their news reporting, is not, I don't find it biased at all. You cannot make the case that it is biased one way or another. You can make the case on their website, that their news reporting and blogging is pretty right-leaning, but I'm talking about the broadcast network. I can't stand the Fox News website anymore than I can stand that CNN website. They're both highly biased sites. So it goes on to ask this question, this mole, this Joe Muto with his big fat mouth going over to Gawker, basically, taking videotape from his employers, talking about people that he works with. Is he a whistleblowing hero, a disloyal self-promoter, or something in between? A whistleblower? What? Are you kidding?
What's that?
A whistleblower is a guy who knows that there is something patently illegal or blatantly immoral going on, and he tells the public about it, even to the point of, losing his job, losing his friends. Jeffrey Wigand. Now, there's a whistleblower. This is a man that worked for Brown and Williamson Tobacco as a chemist, and he did an interview with CBS at great personal risk, and by that I mean career risk. Although, you know, if you saw the movie The Insider, they tried to intimate that there was some physical risk. I don't know. But certainly a great career risk. Jeffrey Wigand went on CBS, and he was hung out to dry, man. This cat basically said that Brown and Williamson had a company policy as a tobacco and cigarette manufacturer to increase the levels of nicotine in their cigarettes so that they were increasingly delivering more and more nicotine to the customer so that they would have a customer for life. Purposefully addicting the customer by this method of delivering nicotine. They call it a nicotine delivery system is what they called the cigarettes.
Well, what? Why do they call it nicotine what?
Nicotine delivery system. That's what a cigarette is. That's what Mr. Wigand called it. Now, what in point of fact they were doing was they were manipulating the nicotine content and chemical content of these cigarettes. And they had him sign a non-disclosure agreement after he had been fired. I think he'd been fired, but he was allowed to keep his benefits. And so he had his benefits, and he had, you know, I think he had a severance package that was very nice. But they were nervous, and as the movie says, you know, at the very beginning, they said to him, you know, we want to expand our zone of comfort with you. We want you to sign this non-disclosure agreement after the fact. This is very unethical. But nonetheless, they had him over a barrel. This guy wanted to keep his health insurance. This guy wanted to keep his reputation intact as a chemist and maybe get a job someplace else in corporate America. So he went ahead and he did all this stuff and still was screwed with by these cats until finally he couldn't take it anymore, and he went to 60 Minutes. And it's ironic I'm talking about him because I guess maybe I'm thinking about him because Mike Wallace died this week. But that's what a whistleblower, a guy who is a whistleblower who's actually doing some good. Some, you know, this guy's really actually talking about something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, but if that guy had an agreement not to say anything, he's still messing up.
You're right. You're right. You know, when you sign an agreement and you say, I will do this and I will do that, you put your name to it, you know, you should. In Mr. Wigand's case, at least according to what, you know, the film showed, and I guess, you know, in many ways it could be an extremely biased document, but he had agreed to these things, and he was holding up his end of the bargain, and all he wanted was the health insurance, and all he wanted to be basically was to be left alone so he wouldn't have to, you know, deal with any more of this nonsense from Brown and Williamson. But they kept after him. They kept after him. They kept screwing with him. They kept asking him this and asking him that, and they wanted to expand their level of comfort and blah, 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 until finally the guys couldn't take it any longer. So an argument is made by him that he was harassed into doing this. But this little J-off, and we better break, and I'll get back to this. This Mudo guy ain't no whistleblower. He's a gossip monger. That's what he is. All right, we're going to come back in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We have an iron swine?
Oh, yeah. You're going to do an iron swine about, well, we don't want to say. Yeah, but it had to do with that guy's brother-in-law fooling with his brakes.
Oh, swell. All right, iron swine coming up next to the world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now on the Phil Hendry Show, Iron Swine.
Hey, Iron Swine. And we're, and by the way, we have special effects on this one today.
Yeah, we have all the special effects.
Yeah, I got it. Today on Iron Swine, Iron Swine goes to visit the man his wife hired her idiot brother to fool with the brakes. Gonna go and tell the guy.
Yeah, hello. This is the Iron Swine office.
Yeah, hey. I'm on the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my wife's got her brother. He's under the car, and he's got the mind of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, that sounds like a job for Iron Swine.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're gonna send Iron Swine.
So we send Iron Swine over this guy. Yeah. Now I'll be the guy.
Yes, this is Iron Swine.
Yeah, I come out here to my Jaguar, and my wife's brother's under there fooling around.
Get out of here, yeah.
Duh.
Get out of here, you dumbass.
Duh. Thank God, Iron Swine. I didn't think.
You can fool.
Oh, are you back in the office?
Yeah.
Thank God, Iron Swine. You got rid of that dumbass.
Yeah, Dad, all I did was use my coat to shoo him away.
Thank God for Iron Swine, even when he only used a coat to shoo away a dumbass.
Iron Swine.
God.
What?
I don't know what to say. It's just they get better and better. Thank you. You're welcome. So, you could get anybody to do that job.
No, you couldn't, because Iron Swine... He's the only one.
So Iron Swine is the only guy that could come out to this guy's house and shoo this guy away with a coat.
Yeah.
All right, man. Good job, guys. There's Iron Swine. All right, where the hell were we? Oh, yeah, so back to this mole. Now, this guy who is at Fox News, and he is now trying to call himself a whistleblower. His name is Joe Muto, or if you will, Bud, Mr. Moto. This cat listens into the conversations that are happening around him there in the newsroom. He is listening into the different, you know, things that are happening. He takes videotape. He's posting this stuff on Gawker. You know, this is a guy that you talk to at work, a guy that you share your workspace with, a guy that you have a level of confidence in, a guy that, you know, is giving you have no reason not to believe it. And he's purporting himself, pretending that he's a certain person, and he's a douchebag. He's a scumbag.
Why do you say that? The guy, he's like a whistleblower.
No, he ain't no whistleblower. That's the point I'm trying. If he was really a whistleblower, what is he blowing the whistle on, man?
I'm talking about Fox being biased.
Oh, well, now there's a real newsflash. So Fox is biased? By God, everybody knows that Fox's success is based in part on the fact that they are at the antithesis and antithetical, I think I've butchered that word enough, to the typical, you know, the perception of the liberal media. Fox was the release valve. Fox was the antidote. And there was a refreshing, I guess you could say there was sort of refreshing, the pause that refreshes, man, to be able to go over and watch Fox News. To say, though, that this is a secret.
Yeah, but you just said that they're not.
Well, I said, if you look at the way they report their news, look at the way they report the news. Forget about the, and I'm talking to the broadcast network now. Forget about their commentators. Everybody looks at their commentators as if they're news reporters. They are not. Sean Hannity is a commentator. Bill O'Reilly is a commentator. I don't know who the hell else they got. You know, what do they got? Geraldo?
They got like Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah.
Greta Van Susteren is a commentator, and on. Glenn Beck was. And yes, they all have a sort of a right-leaning philosophy. But then when you look at their news breaks and their news blocks and how they report news, I don't see, and I'm not talking about Fox and Friends. I look at that show as like a more of a commentator type of a show. What this guy Muto was doing was just basically spreading a lot of gossip, any kind of juicy stuff. If somebody, you know, said something, you know, nasty, that's not whistleblowing. That's just basically spying on people. If somebody used the F word, if somebody squeezed some chick's ass, if some guy, whatever, that's not whistleblowing, people. That's just some scumbag spreading a whole bunch of gossip. Any workplace in America has it. Any workplace in America is rife with all kinds of behavior from one day to the next. And here's a guy that that these people trusted.
Yeah, but I mean, what if he kept on going and they never didn't find it out or nothing? They might have found out some really cool stuff about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they might have. And, you know, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What?
I said if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What's that mean?
If, that's what it means.
Yeah, you're supposed to say that counts in horse shooting hand grenade.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say what?
You gotta say A-bomb.
No, I'm not saying it's close. I said if. If is a big word, bud. If this, if that, if something else. If they would have caught something, and if they would have caught this, and if they would have... This guy, one day into the job... First of all, this guy isn't bright enough to cover his tracks. One day they catch this guy. That's how stupid he is. Now he says he's got a big story to tell. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'll take any bets here at the Phil Hendry Show, any bets at all, that the only thing this guy's got to say is a whole lot of personal stuff, personal slams, personal asides, a lot of, you know, Sean Hannity used the F word here, and Bill O'Reilly leaves the seat up on the toilet over there, and Greta Van Susteren didn't light a match when he used the ladies' room here. You know, but I mean, that's what it is. Nothing more substantial than that. I got money that says that's all this little worm. And that's why I call him a worm, man, because I tell you, I hate this kind of thing.
Yeah, you talk about about disloyalty.
I hate disloyalty. I hate it. I've been loyal my whole life to a lot of people to a fault, let me tell you, to a fault. And then people go around behind my back, pee down my back, tell me it's raining.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you, Iron Swine.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What other news do we have? We already talked about Korea, and we talked about John Edwards. Oh, Zimmerman. More Zimmerman news on ignoring the dispatch. Remember we talked about that last night? Here's some stuff. We'll get into it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We got into a discussion here on about James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe, as you know, is the man who made films, heavily edited films, about Acorn. He's probably the guy, the single biggest reason why Acorn is no more. We got into a discussion because we were talking about these whistleblowing kinds of things. Now, there's a critique on James O'Keefe in The Atlantic that says the following thing. You can mislead your subjects. You can mislead your subjects. For instance, the Acorn people. Mislead them into thinking you're something that you aren't in order to elicit from them a certain response. All right. But you don't ever want to do that with the audience of your material. And they accuse O'Keefe of editing so heavily and presenting what he did with Acorn and these other groups as the actual chronological timeline, you know, the real-time thing that happened, that he's misled. He's out and out lying to the audience. No, that isn't really what happened. What you did was you set them up this way and so forth. It's kind of like NBC editing that 911 call, and we're going to talk about Zimmerman here in a minute, so that it sounded like Zimmerman was saying, yeah, and he's black, when in point of fact, he was responding to a question about the race of the man. But, you know, the whole reason I'm saying this, when you talk about misleading the audience, on our show, we do satire that our audience is in on. We don't hide anything. We don't lie to the audience and say, you know, if somebody were to ask me, well, you know, what is it that you do, Phil? It's a satirization of you know.
Well, you know, don't talk so much about it. You're going to give away.
Yeah. What do you talk? All right. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're going to keep on talking about it.
All right. Well, here's the point. If you don't let the audience in on it, they're saying that is bad, and that's what O'Keefe does. I'll tell you another guy that doesn't let the audience in on his horse dung. Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer, and you know, and if I was to talk to Jerry Springer right now, he'd probably, oh, come on, Phil, it's just like you, you know, I mean, the people know. Get out of here, man. You know, you don't present yourself as a comedy show, man. I do. I present myself as a comedy show. You don't. You want people to think that you're doing some kind of, you know, talk forum. Bull crap. You're full of crap, man. You don't tell them that. You're a liar, man. And I, you know, it's cool with me. It's fine. And that makes money. And that's, if people are lied to and they're all right about it, that's all right. I'm not, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's what he's doing. So don't, like the man says, pee down my back.
And tell me it's raining.
Thank you. All right, let's move on now to George Zimmerman. And after weeks in hiding, George Zimmerman made his first courtroom appearance Thursday in the shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, and prosecutors outlined their murder case in court papers, saying the Neighborhood Watch volunteer followed and confronted the black teenager after a police dispatcher told him not to. The brief outline contained in an affidavit filed in support of the second-degree murder charges appeared to contradict Zimmerman's claim that Martin attacked him after he'd turned away and was returning to his vehicle. In the affidavit, prosecutors also said that Martin's mother identified cries for help heard in the background of a 911 call as her son's. There had been some question as to whether Martin or Zimmerman was the one crying out.
Yeah, they say it's his mother, but she's going to say that.
All right, well, let's not, you know, I'm just reading it. The account of the shooting was released as Zimmerman, 28, appeared at a four-minute hearing in a jailhouse courtroom setting in motion what could be a long, drawn-out process or an abrupt and disappointingly short one for the Martin family because of the strong legal protections contained in Florida's Stand Your Ground law on self-defense, which more and more with every passing day sounds like one of the worst laws. Even the guys that authored that law, even the guys that authored it came out and said, this isn't what we meant.
Yeah, but they might change their mind.
Which, there you go. Well, that wouldn't surprise me either. Being politicians, that would make, you know, being politicians, by God, why would we expect them to clarify things or to make things clearer and to make things easier to understand and to, you know, to help interpret the situation? No, why would they do that? They may change their mind. All right. During the hearing, Zimmerman stood up straight, held his head high, and wore a gray jail jumpsuit. He spoke only to answer yes, sir, twice after he was asked basic questions from the judge, who was not in the courtroom, but on closed-circuit TV. The defendant's hair was shaved down to stubble, and he had a thin goatee. His hands were shackled in front of him. He did not enter a plea. That will happen at his arraignment.
What'd they do today?
They charged him. They charged him today. Though, well, this was actually the presentation of the case. They're presenting evidence, and he has a right to be there to hear this presentation. Is that called a presentment? Well, I don't know. The arraignment is when he will actually be asked, how do you plead? It's for May 29th. That's his arraignment. Zimmerman's attorney, Mark O'Mara, has said his client will plead not guilty. A bail hearing for Zimmerman probably will be held April 20, according to O'Mara. Now, to prove second-degree murder, prosecutors must show that Zimmerman committed an imminently dangerous act that showed a depraved lack of regard for human life. The charge carries a mandatory sentence of 25 years in prison and a maximum of life. The special prosecutor in the case, Angela Corey, has refused to explain exactly how she arrived at the charge. But in the affidavit, prosecutors said Zimmerman spotted Martin while patrolling his gated community, got out of his vehicle, and followed the young man. I never knew he was on foot following this kid.
I didn't either.
Prosecutors said in the affidavit that Zimmerman profiled Martin, who was unarmed and wasn't committing a crime. Zimmerman observed Martin and assumed Martin was a criminal, the affidavit said. Zimmerman felt Martin did not belong in the gated community and called the police. Prosecutors interviewed a friend of Martin's who was talking to him over the phone moments before the shooting. His parents' lawyer has said that Martin was talking to his girlfriend in Miami. During this time, Martin was on the phone with a friend and described to her what was happening, the affidavit said. The witness advised that Martin was scared because he was being followed through the complex by an unknown male and didn't know why. That'd scare the hell out of me.
I'd turn around and kick his ass.
Oh, you turn around and kick his ass. Here's a guy that's following you. And it comes down to, and now, you know, you can hear what people are going to be saying now. They say, well, I mean, he could have done something other than attack. Well, how do we know he attacked him? During a recorded call to a police dispatcher, Zimmerman, and here's the crux of this particular story, quote, made reference to people he felt had committed and gotten away with break-ins in his neighborhood. Later, while talking about Martin, Zimmerman stated, these a-holes, they always get away, and also said, these effing punks, according to the affidavit, which is available at blah, blah, blah.
Where's that?
It's http://... APNE, APNE.WS. I can't read this whole thing. / you know, look up the story, man. It continued. When the police dispatcher realized Zimmerman was pursuing Martin, he instructed Zimmerman not to do that and that the responding officer would meet him. Zimmerman disregarded the police dispatcher and continued to follow Martin, who was trying to return to his home. Zimmerman confronted Martin, and a struggle ensued, prosecutors said in their account. Now, that's what the prosecution is saying. That's not what the defense is saying. The prosecution is saying that Zimmerman followed this guy, followed him on foot. He followed him even after he was told not to follow him, and it was he that confronted Martin. The account provided no details on the struggle other than to say that witnesses heard numerous calls for help and that Martin's mother reviewed the 911 recording and recognized her son's cry. Zimmerman told authorities that Martin attacked him as he was going back to his vehicle, punched him in the face, knocked him down, and began slamming his head against the sidewalk. That's what Zimmerman's claiming, but
they don't believe him.
The prosecutor doesn't believe him. She doesn't believe him. She's saying something else happened. She's saying that he did the confronting. That he was following this kid and that he was following the kid on foot. That's what the prosecutor's saying. So Mr. Zimmerman's statement already by the prosecutor has been essentially disbelieved. And that's not unusual, folks. I mean, if you're charged with a crime and you say you didn't do it, and maybe you did, and you're giving a whole load of baloney to the prosecutor, they're going to obviously say, well, we don't believe you. Guess what? We're charging you with this and that, and your statement is horse dung, and we're going to prove it in court. At Thursday's hearing, the case was assigned to Circuit Judge Jessica Rockseidler, a 39-year-old former assistant state attorney from Sanford who was elected to the bench in 2010. Zimmerman's being held without bail. For all the relief among civil rights activists over the arrest, legal experts warned there's a real chance the case could get thrown out before it ever goes to trial because of Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which gives people a broad right to use deadly force without having to retreat from a fight. Well, that's a great law, man. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if you allow people to legally use deadly force when their lives are not threatened, you got a problem. And it could very well be that Florida's saying, you know,
yeah, maybe they don't know. People don't know what it is.
Well, I was going to say, maybe Florida says, you know, the average person, the civilian, doesn't know when his life is in imminent danger. He's not as trained as a police officer, so he should be granted a broader field of action, which is insane. Because you're basically saying, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll give this guy a bigger, you know, kind of freeway to drive down because he doesn't know enough to know not to do this. So I don't know. At a pretrial hearing, Zimmerman's lawyers would only have to prove by a preponderance of evidence, a relatively low legal standard. This is a pretrial. That's why it says that Zimmerman's attorneys are attempting to prove something. It's not the trial. That he acted in self-defense in order to get a judge to toss out the secondary murder charges. If that fails and the case does go to trial, the defense can raise the argument all over again. He acted in self-defense. And there you go. There's a high likelihood it could be dismissed by the judge even before the jury gets to hear the case, Florida defense attorney Richard Hornsby said. Karen Moore, who's an assistant professor of law at Florida A&M, said the law puts a tremendous burden on the state to prove that it wasn't self-defense. So the lawyer for Zimmerman's expected to ask the judge for a hearing on Stand Your Ground. So in other words, they're going to say, here's the law, Your Honor, before we go any further, you know, we need to know how our client was not within the protective, the shield of this Stand Your Ground law.
This is a load of bullcrap, man, a Stand Your Ground. They're going to kill a guy.
Well, I don't know, bud. I mean, you know, this is Florida. This is the law they've got.
Yeah, you even said the guy that came up with a law says a horse dung.
The guy that came up with the law didn't exactly say this was horse dung, but he said that this is not what our law, you know, what we meant by it. All right, let's take a break here. The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL as well, of course, online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And our final segment ahead here on this Thursday night. No, it's Friday morning. It's a beautiful thing. It's Friday the 13th.
What?
Friday the 13th, man. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Friday the 13th. You know Friday the 13th, bud.
Cut it out.
Yeah, Bud's superstitious.
Yeah, I'll tell about that black cat. Yeah, now, see, now you're playing that song.
You better believe I'm playing the song. I had the Howlin' Wolf for it.
Shut up.
Are you, let me ask you something, man. Are you superstitious?
About a black cat, yeah.
I ain't superstitious, but a black cat.
Yeah, see?
It's a freaking song, man, you know. Bad luck ain't got me so. It's Friday the 13th, so there's, you know, anybody that's freaked out about that stuff better start getting freaked. Sometimes it's...
Yeah, I'm going to go home and I hear the dogs barking all over the neighborhood.
All right, man, take a freaking chill, will you? What is it with you?
Well, there's a reason on account of people don't like Friday the 13th.
Yeah, there's a reason that has to do with old religious beliefs, and, you know, look at, the human race doesn't believe a lot of that stuff anymore, okay?
What about, like, not Friday the 13th, a black cat, like a poison apple.
A poison apple?
Yeah, what about that?
You talking about Snow White?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, today is Friday the 13th. I don't know what it's about, man. I ain't going to get into that stuff. It's I think that they're everybody has their superstitions. I'm trying to think if I've got any. And I don't hold to them to the point where I get irate. I think if you have a superstition or a tradition and you get, like, nuts, if the thing is... and I mean, you think it really helps you and you get crazy.
What about voodoo?
Voodoo's very interesting, you know.
But not the same thing, that thing they call Santa Maria?
It ain't called Santa Maria, it's called Santeria.
But what's the Santa Maria?
Yeah, that religion in Miami called Santa Maria. Or what's that guy, Mongo Santa Maria?
Mongo Santa Maria was a jazz musician. Santa Maria is the name of a town in California. And Santeria is the Miami version of the Caribbean voodoo, baby.
What's that do?
Yeah, all freaked out, huh?
Shut up. That voodoo do stuff?
Yeah, baby.
What? Come on, Kyle, what does Santa Maria do?
Santa Maria, Santeria. It's a religion, man, that is rooted in Africa. Okay?
Yeah, the slaves brought it.
The slaves brought it. And it has changed form over the years, because when the slaves brought this religion, Santeria, especially to the Caribbean, and especially to Haiti, Haiti at the time was a French colony. And what religion was predominantly practiced in France, and I dare say probably still is?
Islam.
Islam?
Yeah, ain't that it?
No. Catholicism.
Oh, back, way back.
Yes, back in the day. So what happened with voodoo is it got mixed in with a lot of Catholic beliefs. Voodoo and Santeria, they have a sort of a pantheon that's similar to Catholic saints. Well, these are very powerful figures. And then they have their one, you know, god, or the one big-time god. I don't know, man. You know, you're asking the wrong guy, but I'm just giving you the general outline of this thing. But you're talking about, like, evil voodoo. It has everything to do with convincing the subject or the object of your black spell that they're, you know, can be affected.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, did I believe in it? Like Vivian or something, on account of she's black. I'm not saying I'm being racist or nothing.
Then why are you talking about her being black?
Because that's the people that do it.
No, you're nuts, man. There's all kinds of white people that do voodoo.
What?
Oh, God, there's all kinds of white people that do voodoo. Miami, New Orleans, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, man.
You met a white man doing that?
Oh, there's white folks down there, they do that voodoo? Don't even get me started. You better believe they do. So, no, this ain't no black thing. It was brought, like I say, it was brought over from Africa. But here's the thing about, if you talk to anybody that knows Santeria or voodoo, and the thing about Santeria, by the way, they ran into a big problem back in the 80s for sacrificing animals. And they were, I guess, there was some question as to whether it was done in a humane way and so on and so forth. That, like the killing of animals in the Jewish faith to prepare them for to be consumed kosher, it has to be humane. And I don't know what was going on with Santeria. I don't know whether they fixed that or what the trip is, but... You know, you gotta if you believe that somebody can cast the voodoo thing on you.
Yeah, man. Like if I had a voodoo doll.
Yeah, but see, if they got a hold of a voodoo doll and made it out of, I don't know, made it out of stuff that I threw away, like a snot rag or something, that could have effect on me.
A snot rag, huh? Is that what they're going to make the voodoo doll out of?
Well, whatever. They get a hold of my DNA.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the DNA.
Yeah, that's it, bud. They'll grab an old hanky that you blew your nose into and they make a voodoo doll out of that.
What are you laughing about?
Oh, why don't you relax? The whole thing with voodoo is if you believe it, it gives it its power. And now Santeria, which also has voodoo-like spells and stuff. I guess Santeria is like an American version of voodoo or something. I don't know. But I think that there's been an awful lot of discussion about how evil it is. And it's like Wicca, you know.
What's that?
Like witchcraft.
Yeah, that's witchcraft. They're trying to make it everybody believe that don't turn you into anything.
What? What are you trying to tell me? Witchcraft turns you into something?
What about that kid you said got turned into an apple?
What kid did I say got turned into an apple?
But that one kid.
No, man, that was a kid that called the show and said maybe the kid will get turned into an apple, and he was making a joke. God.
I don't know, man.
Oh, world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Boy, are we getting out of here just in time tonight. Turn the kid into an apple. And don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. We'll see you guys tonight, Friday night, Friday the 13th.
Shut up!
Woo!
Woo! Quit it!
Phil Hendry.